blessing this morning to have these very personalized words to us from friends who are working in the front end of some very complex issues. People who are following God's call to step forward and to know and love and be in relationship with people who have been very displaced. And how refreshing and exciting to hear about them speaking about individual people they are coming to know in one-to-one ways and who they are opening their homes to and their lives to through hospitality. We heard from Bethany and Eric about their commitment to help people move beyond that label of refugee and new Swedes and simply to settle in and to be part of community together. And there comes that question of, well, how do we do this well with all the stark differences between cultures? And from Barbara and Steve, who work mainly with Muslim Middle Eastern refugees and migrants, there comes that same question of, how do we do this well? How do we mix these cultures in a way that is loving and respectful? And remember what they said, they're doing it through one-to-one relationship. And they're doing it through language learning, their språk café. They're doing it by using their home as a place of hospitality. And that beautiful story about the man who they met at that harbor festival and who came to drink tea with them and brought this question of, would you pray that I'd receive the light? Maybe not even knowing yet that light is Jesus. What a great gift to have people like Bethany and Eric and Steve and Barb who are out there doing this by God's call in the name of Jesus, bringing this truth to people's lives. As Steve said, it's a long journey in sharing the love of Jesus, but it's more than just sharing words, it's sharing lives. So even though their call is to do that there in Sweden, it's not as if we don't have a similar call to do that here where we live. Because we do. We who know Jesus, we who know that in Him is life and forgiveness, and in Him is light, the light of the world, we are the ones who He continues to call, saying, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. In Greek, that word nations is ethnos. All ethnic groups. All skin colors, all languages, all ethnicities. We're to go out and reach people in the name of Jesus wherever we are. And we know that today, all nations is not just the distant points around the globe. All nations are here. They've come to us, and more are coming. Class of Hope Saturdays are a great example of this and a good glimpse of it. Yesterday, here in the sanctuary, I heard Russian, Spanish, and Japanese all being spoken. They're coming to us because we have said, you are welcome here. We have clothes to give you. We have care to give you. We have love to show you. And when we have the chance to talk with our guests who come on Class of Hope Saturdays, to ask questions and to hear stories and to hear people's hearts speak and sometimes to pray with them, it is such a powerful reminder of the loads that people carry and the gift of being in a safe place with caring, loving people. So thank you to all of you who are part of this. And we know that this is the very thing that countless people are looking for all over the globe. A safe place. A loving place to set their load down, even if just for a while, and to know that others care. To know that others will listen, that others will pray for them and weep with them and advocate for them. Friends, this is the work we're called to do. This is the gift we continue opening as we offer ourselves to people who are in vulnerable places. We bring clothes, we bring care, we bring love, we bring relationship, and we bring Jesus. There's a woman I talked to who's living in a van. She has been for a long time. She used to own a home and had a full-time job, and then she moved to a condo, And then she lost her job, she lost her home, and she lost a lot of other things along the way. And now she is utterly stuck living in a van, and cold weather is coming. But to solve this, she needs about 50 different things all to come into play and to coordinate for her to have any semblance of life like it used to be. It is so huge and complex. And she is just one person. But she is distinct. And she is precious to God. And it is so important for us not to clump and compartmentalize people, to bunch people together only in groups, like the homeless, or the poor, or the immigrants, or the refugees, or whatever other categories we might want to use, but instead to remember and not to forget that each person has hopes and a heart and histories and dreams. And each person is distinct, and each person is precious to God, and therefore to us. Each person. These are among the people who Jesus described as the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Which can also be translated as the most insignificant or the easiest to look past of my brothers and sisters. So let's turn to the text for today from Matthew 25. And it will be good, as always, to have your Bibles open, whether paper Bible or on a screen. Read from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations, all the ethnos, will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It can be all too easy to give ourselves a pass and not help people who Jesus called the least of these because we're busy. Who here in this room does not have a busy, full life going on? We're busy, all of us. And it gets complicated when we begin to get involved with people who are needy. Especially if we really listen to them and hear the challenges they face with jobs or health or the complexity of the English language or trying to find affordable housing, a place that where affordable housing is out of their reach. It gets complicated very quickly. Combine complexity with busyness, And it's easy not even to stop and give a thought to one of the least of these. And with that, it's also easy to clump people together into broad groups, to consider others as simply them or those people. And just a personal footnote here, and I'm talking to myself too, I would love for all of us to remove from our vocabularies those phrases, those people, or people like them. It never goes anywhere good, does it? Those people, people like them. Most often it's said with disdain or with dismissal, walling off relationship with them. And because when we do that, when we clump and categorize those people or people like them, it can therefore also be easy to assume that we already know their situation and we've got it figured out. And there's nothing we can do. Or even assume that those people or people like that, that their motives are suspect and therefore we shouldn't even help them. We should stay away from this whole situation. But from the passage we just heard in Matthew 25, Jesus didn't put a little addendum on the end of this saying, however, if you're really busy, or if it's complicated, or if you just don't like those people, or if you're hearing nothing but suspicion about what those people are up to, then you're exempt. There's nothing like that in the text. Instead, he said, as it reads the message, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was homeless, you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit me. I was in prison. You came to me. I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked and ignored, that was me. You did it to me. But whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it for me. We all know that right now, we got very complex and tangled issues going on in this world and in our nation with refugees and migrants. Refugees, as Peggy was saying earlier, refugees are people who have been forced to leave their homeland due to violence or persecution or oppression. And migrants are people who have chosen to leave their homeland because it's too dangerous or emotionally depleted or other reasons. But the two categories overlap in all kinds of ways. And right now we have millions upon millions of people who are on the move in search of a home, in search of safety and a place where they can raise families and work and thrive. And of course there are bad people mixed into it. That's our fallen world. But not everybody. It's all very, very complex and it's all very, very heated and political right now too. Here and elsewhere. And we here in this room have got all kinds of different perspectives and opinions about these issues and what we think the best course might be to take. And we here in this room, this very room, we listen to a wide range of commentators and news and talk radio about these very issues. And we hear the facts in all kinds of different ways. So far be it from me to say that I've got it all figured out, because I don't. But I know who does. And you know who does. God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is not beyond God's reach. And because of that, I will also be so bold as to say this. Our primary source for learning our roles in this world and how to live in these complex days, our primary source for responding to the hurts and cares of this world and the vast people who populate it, our primary source is not and cannot be Fox News or CNN or talk radio or wherever else we go. It is Jesus the Christ. It is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It is the Word of God to and through Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Miriam and David and Ruth and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Mary and Paul and Peter and James, and on it goes. The Word of God to and through them, to us. It is the Word of God in Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh who comes to us full of grace and truth. In Him, John wrote, in Him was the life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It's in Jesus, as Paul wrote, where we find the image of the invisible God, who is before all things, and in Him, what? In Him, all things hold together. Even the impossibly complex things of this age right now. He must be our primary source. Our primary source. The one who says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I have called you my friends. I've called you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. I've called you to do these things, to the very least of these, my brothers and sisters, because what you do for them, you do for me. The direction which Jesus calls us to place the full weight and passion and creativity and energy of our lives, loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, including the least of these. This is a theme that punctuates all of Scripture from beginning to end. We heard this earlier from Deuteronomy 10. God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. God is reminding the Israelites that in their position of strength, from their posture of power, now that they were a large people and they could flex their power, they were not to forget those who were the most vulnerable. They were not to forget those who were looking for a home and a place to thrive. People who had to flee from where they lived because of danger. Remember and do not forget them. Do not be so full of your own blessings that you refuse to make a safe place for them, because one was repeatedly made for you. If you search in your Bibles for these words, stranger, alien, foreigner, neighbor, sanctuary, father, fatherless, widow, you'll have a lot to read. And it all fits together. It all goes in the very same direction. Remember and do not forget them. Do not neglect them, block them, turn them away. But we have got forces of darkness moving against us and moving in the exact opposite direction. The mass shooting at the synagogue yesterday, a place of worship, it's emblematic of this. 11 people killed and others shot by a hate-filled anti-Semitic man who was infuriated that synagogues are places where refugee concerns are being raised. Mark Hetfield, who's the executive director of the very group that infuriated this man, the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society, Hetfield said, we used to welcome refugees who were Jewish. Now we are welcoming refugees because we are Jewish. We used to welcome refugees who were Jewish. Now we are welcoming refugees because we are Jewish. It's remembering and not forgetting. They're doing the very thing that God commands His people to do. Remember and do not forget. Do not turn away and wall others out, but step forward saying, we can help. It may cost us, but we can help. We're in dark days. Within 72 hours, there were the pipe bombs that were mailed out to outspoken critics of our president. Then a man who intended to shoot up a black church couldn't get in and shot two African Americans at a Kroger store in Kentucky. Then the synagogue mass shooting, and so much else. And then add to all of this 244 million people around the globe who are on the move as migrants, and 66 million people around the globe who are refugees, forcibly sent away from their countries. Many wanted to come here. And with all this, deep fear can take a deep hold in us. And with deep fear can come anger. Lock the doors, circle the wagons. It can be overwhelming, the pain, the needs, the hate, the fear in this world. But we have a God who knows the depths of that very darkness and that very fear, and who does not step away. And we have a Savior, Jesus, who took upon Himself the ravenousness of this world's hate and darkness and was crucified by it, dying under it. And we also have a Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrected Son of God, who calls His followers to take Him at His word, to obey His word, not just thinking about it, but doing it. Not giving up because it's hard or complex or it seems endless or costly, but instead trusting that Jesus knows what He's doing when He calls us forward. He is our primary source. He's the one who brings all things together. And He's the one who we bring with us into this world. So listen to these words from Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. To close, I want to go back to the words from Matthew 25, separating the sheep from the goats. These are both beautiful and very sobering words. And it can be tempting to put the second set aside as if, well, of course, those wouldn't apply to us. And may they not. But here's how Jesus laid it out. The ones who feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, who welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick, go to those in prison in His name. They are the sheep. And they're told, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. But the goats, the ones who don't or won't do these things, to them come the words, depart from Me, you who are cursed. I don't want any of us to be goats. Neither do you. So let's pray for God's wisdom. Let's pray for Jesus' leading. That we would follow Him with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's pray for this broken and dark world to know the light and hope and truth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for people in power to be wise and not just calculating. Let's pray for those who are crushed with sorrow and hopelessness to know hope. And let's pray that we will be continually on a path of humble transformation, made more and more like Jesus every day and ready to speak His name and His truth wherever we go, with Him as our primary source. So here's what we're going to sing in a moment. I'll read these words from about 50 years ago, and then we'll pray. Lord, whose love in humble service bore the weight of human need, who upon the cross forsaken worked Your mercy's perfect deed, we, Your servants, bring the worship not of voice alone, but heart, consecrating to Your purpose every gift that You impart. Still Your children wander homeless. Still the hungry cry for bread. Still the captives long for freedom. Still in grief we mourn our dead. As You, Lord, in deep compassion, heal the sick and free the soul. By Your Spirit, send Your power to our world and make it whole. Let's pray. Lord, in the dense complexity of all that we have going on in this world, shine Your light on us. Fill us with a sense of hope and a sense of joy and love that we can bring out to this world by knowing ourselves that You are with us. You have called us Your own. You've called us to bear fruit, fruit that will last, which only You can do through us. So we commit our lives to You, praying that You would use us in whatever ways You choose. May we be faithful to You. Have mercy upon us and this whole world, we pray. In your name, amen.